Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
How many times have you been on the subway when a disheveled person steps into the car and says, "Excuse me for interrupting, but I am homeless and hungry and looking for some food"? Some people reach into their pockets and purses to give some food or money, while others look away or don't look up from their smartphones, or even worse, snicker and roll their eyes. As awful as this is, we have come to expect these reactions. There is so much desperation around us that many of us find ourselves picking and choosing who needs our help most. We often ask ourselves, is this person really needy? His shoes look too nice for him to be asking for money. Or alternatively, this person looks very needy, but will she spend my money on food and shelter or alcohol and cigarettes? Often when people ask for help, we feel permitted to judge them, and judge them we do. But why are we so judgmental? What motivates this posture? What's really hanging in the balance here is a deeper existential challenge. We like to believe that there is an underlying system of fairness that organizes the world. And while rationally we know this isn't quite true, emotionally we don't want to accept this. We feel powerless and vulnerable when we encounter someone who bears the face of misfortune. We realize that if misfortune can happen to the person standing before us, it could happen to any of us. And this is far more palatable to place blame for the people's unfortunate circumstances on them. The alternative tends to bring out an existential challenge. The world is not organized by a system of fairness, as the author of Ecclesiastes wrote. At times, the righteous get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked get what the righteous deserve. This offends our deep sense of what is fair and right. It upends our oft-held beliefs that we have control over our destiny, that if we act justly, we will receive justice. So we find ourselves sometimes employing a kind of magical thinking. The same kind of magical thinking that we use when we find out that someone has died. Often our first question is, how old was that person? Were they sick? We do this because we want to establish the cause and effect. And why? Because ultimately we realize that we are vulnerable. And frequently there is no causality. This fear leads us to distance ourselves when encountering a homeless person. Unconsciously, we protect ourselves by blaming them for their predicament. Why are they homeless? We might assume it's because they got into drugs or gambled their money away or were reckless or morally inferior. Yet often a person becomes homeless because of eviction, family breakdown, domestic violence, physical or sexual abuse, and above all, unemployment, underemployment, and circumstances that lead to poverty. Whether we are conscious of it or not, we actually think about the homeless quite a bit. We encounter a slice of their lives on the subway, on the sidewalk, and on our commutes to work and to school. And regardless of the biases we hold, on a deeper level, we want to help. In our congregation alone, we address this impulse in several ways, from the emergence of our task forces, to our mission to Greece and Germany to work with refugees, to our social action initiatives. We are energized to get out and do good. We also have long-standing programs right here in our synagogue that have been helping the hungry and the homeless for many, many years. One is the Emergency Feeding Program, in which our volunteers bag and distribute groceries every Saturday morning all year long. And the other is the Next Step Men's Shelter, which is my main focus tonight. We have had the men's shelter in our building for over 30 years, which provides a warm and safe environment for 10 men, 5 nights a week, 9 months out of the year. Since the shelter began, it has been run by volunteers. The need to fill dinner and overnight shifts is ongoing. We always need new volunteers. Understandably, some people aren't available, such as those in our community who care for children, spouses, or the elderly, and likewise, many in our community who work on behalf of those less fortunate. They may need some downtime to recharge and replenish themselves in their off time from work. Yet many of us are available. So what is it like to volunteer at the men's shelter? You could sign up for a dinner shift. This can be as simple as ordering in, sitting with our shelter guests, and engaging in conversation. Or you can sign up for an overnight shift. You arrive at 8 p.m., visit with our guests until 10:30 when we turn out the lights. The men who come to our shelter have been referred through a city agency. They have been vetted. They are respectful of the rules and guidelines set out. Volunteers sleep on a pull-out couch in our women's room in a separate space from the guests. In the morning, our guests help themselves to breakfast, clean up their bedding, and are ready to leave by 6 a.m. That's it. The shifts are predictable, well-organized, and quite pleasant. You may find yourself spending an evening talking, playing backgammon, or watching sports or a movie. You can volunteer by yourself, with your children, or with a relative or a friend, and it's very easy to participate in this meaningful work. Yet we all know there is a distance between our good intentions and our actions. So if I have not already convinced you to sign up for a shift, consider this. As Eleanor Roosevelt said, action brings with it its own courage, its own energy, a growth of self-confidence that can be acquired in no other way. None of us can wait until we are in the mood. We need to act. Judaism demands it. Our own sense of morality demands it. And along the way, we may find ourselves experiencing a different aspect of community. Here are some comments from recent volunteers. When you are the dinner volunteer, you also get to meet the person who sleeps over. You make that connection. The last time I volunteered, I met someone who had just come back from the synagogue's Israel mission, and that overlap has actually brought me closer with people in the synagogue. And another comment. I've been surprised by how much the people who stay here are interested in us. I have witnessed positive relationships among the guys. And above all, I am struck by how much this means to them. I remember being shocked when one guest told me he had not lied down in weeks. It took me a while to understand what he meant until he explained that previous to coming to our Next Step men's shelter, he had not slept in a bed, only in chairs. And another comment. It is the easiest volunteer job ever, with the most impact. All I'm doing is sleeping, and yet I am enabling the shelter to stay open. The men are so appreciative of all the community puts into their experience here. One man remarked that our shelter is the Ritz of shelters because people cook for them. He said, it's not canned tuna. It doesn't feel like a handout. It feels like we are taken care of. Our shelter provides these men with a sense of dignity. We offer them a clean bed, a cooked meal, companionship, a shower. Simple things that make a very big difference. Here we are on the 45th day of the Omer, rushing towards Shavuot. Imagine now that it is Yom Kippur, and we are taking an accounting of our days. What will we be able to look back upon? How have we contributed positively to the world? What is some act that we have done that has helped another? By volunteering at the men's shelter, we not only engage in meaningful work, we also build a memory that helps shape the person we want to be, a memory that gives honor to our people. On Yom Kippur, we read a line from Isaiah in which the prophet asks us, "What is the meaning of your fast?" This question prompts us to consider our actions. What did we do for others? How did we spread love into the world? How did we help the less fortunate? When we are sitting in the sanctuary over the high holy days, meditating on our deeds, can we say that we provided sanctuary to those in need, that we personally made the effort? The opportunity is there and waiting. The need is clear. How will you answer the call? Shabbat Shalom.